Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Bea Williams.
I'm Wendy Papazian.
I'm Seychelle Van Poole.
And I'm Sarah Reynolds. Hi, everyone. It's Thanksgiving week. This is my favorite holiday. Woo! Because it's family time without the stress of presents. So I love Christmas too because of the family, but you have all the stress around giving. Thanksgiving is just family time. So happy Thanksgiving. And there's one thing that I can almost guarantee that most of our listeners struggle with. And we know that because all of us struggle with it, that our family and friends are too afraid to tell us. And no, it's not every Thanksgiving you gain 5 pounds.
I thought that's where you were going with that. Yeah. I totally thought that's where you were going. I was like, my pants don't fit. Everyone tell me.
No, no one will tell you that, okay?
Yeah, well, this isn't that episode.
Yeah, it's not that. Yeah, that's another episode.
That's after the holidays.
That's next week, yeah.
Exactly. But what they're not telling you is that they are noticing that you aren't present, you aren't mindful of others around you, and you're stressed and focused on other things like your business, or right now, many of us are on our phones. We have our head in our phones on social media versus being present and mindful with those that are closest to us. So our friends and family, so true.
Yes.
Yep. Our friends and family get the worst of us many times. That's our sad reality. Many times they get what's left over of our time and our
focus. The wrong
focus.
Kind of leftovers.
Yes.
Thanksgiving.
Yes. the wrong kind of leftovers. Exactly. And so it's so important for us to realize that it's something that all of us struggle with, being mindful and present. And as we enter into this important family week, we wanted to dive in today on how to be more mindful and present with those that we love and or mindful and present with ourselves, right? And taking that time. So today we're going to dive into how. We're going to give you tips on how to be mindful and present. And the four of us struggle with this just as much as you do. So as always, you can expect us to be vulnerable. We can share our stories and our struggles with this. But let's dive in. How to be mindful and present.
Yeah. And I would just add, before we really get into the meat of it today, is that for me personally, during COVID, it's been even more of a struggle because I've been working at home now for, 8 months.
Yep.
And by the time Thanksgiving rolls around, I guess it'll be another month, will be 9 months. And I have no division between church and state, no division between work and home life. And so it's even harder to be mindful because there's really no transition.
So true.
It is. And I keep, that's so true, Wendy. And I keep hoping that this is going to be a destination where it's like, I can be present in all things all the time. And it's just not that way. So, I want us also to realize that this is a journey. This is not a destination. You are going to be an active failure on this a lot if you're an entrepreneur and also have a big personal life. And so this is something that, I personally will be listening to probably at least once a month myself on this episode.
I was about to say that, Say.
It's one that I need on the regular over here.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely. I think what's ironic about us recording this morning, and you guys know that, but our listeners don't know this, is literally you guys witnessed me so distracted. When we started this recording, I have a crisis going on at work and my fingers were frantically texting. I was fielding calls. I had to start late. And I literally just now had to shut down all notifications, which I rarely do, in order to be present and mindful for this podcast. And I am stilling my brain right now to be here. So it's kind of ironic that we're having this, right now, but I'm in the middle of it. I'm in the middle of a crisis management. And as a leader, that is very distracting, right? And so I just think it's kind of funny. Like, I'm battling it as we speak.
Can I have one other admission too? We had our Amplify event not too long ago, our virtual one. And something that we as the dolls talked about was how you can get addicted to busyness.
Yes.
And that was like, I was actually a personal admission on my side, right? That I was like, I really think I'm addicted to being busy. I get dopamine from it. I get a huge hit of like success and checking something off. And like being busy for me is, it's very rewarding. And I think being mindful and still has its own rewards when you're willing to work at it, right? And it's far easier for me to lean into the busy and the business than it is to lean into the mindful, the present, and the personal.
So true.
That's definitely an admission on my side.
100%, me too.
And it's more of a struggle than ever before. You know, we just don't have any, you know, it used to be if we went to the post office and we had to wait in line, right? Yes. You know, before we had we had cell phones, you'd have to either talk to the person behind you in line or kind of stare off in space and and just think. And so a lot of us don't have any time during the day for thinking. And that's really part of the mindfulness journey.
And the majority of it was driving time. So for many of us, especially I'm in the DC Metro, one of the top worst traffic areas in the country. Yeah. And the benefit of that is I had a lot of time in the car and sometimes I would shut everything off and have silence and be present and be mindful with my thoughts. And all of that gets eliminated with everything that's going on right now. And so let's go over how to be present. So the first thing is you want to practice mindfulness. You want to practice it. And how we recommend doing that is have time block time in your schedule to make sure that you're being mindful and sort of set up. Our recommendation is to set up your day for that and have that first thing in the morning to be present and practice mindfulness. So there's a few things that you can do. For me, I pray. I do a lot of praying, which is both like internal and of course external. But prayer time for me is super important in how I start off my day. And I know that I think Via, you're doing some meditation right now, right?
Well, you know, and can I just ask what that looks like for you, Sarah? Yeah. I'm just curious because I have one thing to say that you wake up and you pray, but I mean, what do you actually do if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah. So I have a prayer journal and I keep a bullet point of things that are going on in my life and those that I love's lives. And I put a bullet and I go down each bullet point when I'm praying, but then I have just like quiet prayer reflecting time that I just sit and sort of like listen and think through the things that are going on. And at times, different things, people pop into my mind a lot of times that I want to check on and all of my relationships. And then also it's just like, a lot of times it's not business related, it's personal, but just taking the time and writing things down for me is important, that are important to me. And I have ones that never come off the list. And then I highlight when things are answered. And then
is that me? Am I on that never ending
list? Yes. Yeah, never ending list.
That's me when you
want
to know what
bullet
point is
she. Yeah, what bullet point is she? It's like George, Olivia, Caitlin, Lincoln, Wendy.
I need it.
Yes. But I do highlight when they're answered. And then I actually flip through the book, flip through the journal a lot when I'm struggling of just like remembering that things get answered and all those successes that we have through life.
I love that.
So yeah. Yep.
That's great. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, no problem.
I figured you had a good system around it.
Yes. I don't share. I don't know if I've ever shared that actually. Thank you, Wendy,
that's
for
awesome.
Asking.
Awesome. Does anybody here meditate? Do you guys meditate at all? Does anyone here do that?
I view meditation as a tool in my tool belt. Mm-hmm. I don't have meditation as a practice. And I have been a lot busier in my life than I am now. I've had a lot less leverage and I've really needed meditation to really function at a high level. Like when I was kind of our lead listing agent and I had two ISAs setting appointments for me and I was going on, you know, 10 appointments a week or whatever, 5 to 10 appointments a week. And that's is crazy. When you really need meditation, you know, to kind of like do everything. And, but I've always viewed it, I'd love to have it as a practice, but I've always viewed it as like a tool for me that I can pull out when I really need it.
That's how I'm using it, but I want it as a practice too. I tried to start it as a practice and it didn't stick, for being honest, but I do pull it out too, Wendy. That's how I use it.
Yeah. And I know you journal a lot, Via.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is the one thing that I do. And I do it for a couple of reasons and I'm happy to share what it looks like. So I'm really into, I think being present is dumping unfinished loops in your head. And we've talked about this before. It's kind of one of my philosophies that if we, you know, if we dump unfinished loops into some kind of a parking lot, our brain lets go of them easier and they don't cycle around in a loop. I think loop's the best visual for that. So if I'm struggling with something, I'll write very long journal entries and I'll often write them as a letter to the person I'm struggling with, or sometimes it's just to me, it depends. The other time I journal is
so is Wendy in your journal too?
Wendy.
Do you have letters to Wendy?
You know,
I was going to ask that. But
she has a page.
I feel like if I asked that, it would, you know, it would be about my ego.
Yeah. I call it the Wendy Journal.
I'm real quiet, but thank you. Thank you for asking.
I call it the Wendy Journal because it's all about Wendy. You pray for Wendy every day. I journal every day.
No, she has but her normal journal and then her Wendy journal. It's cool.
Well, the other reason I journal every day, and I just think this is good for everyone to hear, is I want to practice writing. So I want to write a book. And I believe the best way to practice writing is to write every day. And so I try to take lessons I've learned and frameworks I've learned and hone and edit them. And I've been doing this pretty consistently now for, oh my goodness, 3, 4, 5 years. And so I think I'm ready to write that book in a few years. Yeah.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
Prepared. Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, and the other thing about journaling is it allows you to see patterns in your life, you know, because when you're writing things down and you actually take the time to go back and reflect and read those pages of your journal, you're like, wow, I'm kind of doing the same things over and over again.
Yep.
So that's actually a part of mindfulness.
Yeah,
just being aware of who you are. Yep. And that's part of the part of becoming, mm-hmm. you know, part of us all becoming more human is to be more aware of who we are mm-hmm. and our effect on the world.
Yeah. You know, I'm actually reading a book right now. It's called Insight. And the entire book is on on awareness. Mm. The whole book is on internal and external awareness. And it's just fascinating.
Wow. Yeah. So you want to practice mindfulness. I know some people have yoga something in their routines.
Gratitude.
Whatever it is that you want to have something that you're blocking the time. So we prefer
morning,
first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when you're busy, you need to block multiple things throughout the day to make sure you just stay grounded. And whatever it is in your world that does that, make sure that's in your calendar, right?
Yeah.
And really quick before we move on, I want to go back to something, Sarah, that you said. Don't be afraid to shut everything down in your car and not pressure yourself to think about a topic or your next meeting. Don't be afraid. And that some people call it white space. You can call it what you want. Don't be afraid to just drive. And this is how I define mindfulness and being present. All 5 senses are involved. Yep. So I do this little gut check. I'm like, all right, what am I hearing? What am I seeing? Am I in the moment?
Smelling.
Am I smelling? Yes. And what am I, you know, whatever. Don't be afraid to just give yourself that few minutes and take away that pressure of having to think about what's coming next or what just happened.
So good.
And just relax yourself and be present and mindful. Well, listen to the sounds of the freeway, you know, listen to the whatever.
Yep.
I love that. Well, and, you know, coming into that, I'm going to move us to the next point, which actually is beautifully parlayed from Via on that, which is eliminate distractions, right? In order to be mindful, you have to eliminate those distractions. And so I know one thing that's helped me is by having like a chill out alarm that goes off on my phone. And it reminds me to literally like I have to physically go put my phone in another room that is like hard for me to get to away so that I'm not even tempted to like sneak in the corner and check it. So physically, I have to like remove myself from that sort of communication and distraction. And it's allowed me to put better boundaries around that so that I can focus more on being intentional or breathing or present with family or whatever it is we're doing.
I love that.
Our biggest distraction is our phones, typically.
100%.
That is what's taking us away. And so
it is.
Creating space between you and your phone or you and your laptop, whatever it is that is the distraction, honestly, do it.
And having a habit around it. So I think, you know, coming home, you know, not all of us come home. Some of us are home, but it's like, you know, the work day is done. I'm going to put my phone up. I'm going to close my computer. I'm going to go outside. I'm going to go for a walk. So like whatever your ritual is there, and I'll be honest, I don't really have a ritual right now, but I used to when I worked at the office, which was to come home. You know, back in the old days, people would come home, they'd change their clothes. Right? You know, imagine a 50s dad coming home, hanging up his fedora, taking his tie off, hanging up his suit coat. And then it's like a real physical transition.
Oh, so I do that. So I do that. I come home and change my clothes. It's the first thing I do.
Yeah.
And my martini's waiting, held by my husband. No, I'm kidding.
With lipstick on.
I was in a fantasy world for me.
Okay, it's gone. Welcome, Sophia.
There's a great Jim Gaffigan.
Let me help you with your code.
There's a great Jim Gaffigan video about this where he's working on setting boundaries with his kids with technology. And if you haven't had the chance, you should go watch it. It's on, you know, YouTube or wherever you get your videos.
You can put it on show notes.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really funny, like, 4-minute video about him and his kids setting boundaries on technology and, like, what happens with that. So it's really good.
Yeah. And I think you should have some boundaries with your family. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't allow phones at the dinner table, for instance. We don't allow phones at, you know, certain times, and we have certain habits where it's just phone free, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so whatever that looks like for your family, put those into place and enforce them, because I can't, you know, to me, the main time we spend together every night where we're all focused and present in the moment is our family dinner.
Yeah.
So same. The thought of all of us on our phones, then it would be sad.
Yeah, yes. It would.
A friend of mine was talking with me about her executive MBA experience, and it really got me thinking. You know, it's a big investment, it's expensive, it's time consuming, and you're gambling on who you'll meet, who your professors are going to be, and what you're actually going to get out of it. Our conversation reminded me of why we created Empire Circle at Her Best Life. We flipped the script and created something really special for our experiential learners like me. While academia is absolutely important to our community as a whole, it doesn't always equate to what we need while we are building the big business in real time. With Empire Circle, you'll learn from women who've actually built the big businesses and who are still in the arena doing it. You don't have to step away. Our retreats take you to exotic locations instead of classrooms where you'll grow your revenue, hone your strategy, find your community, and expand your big, beautiful life all in real time. Why step out of your business when you can step into Empire Circle? Apply for Empire Circle now at herbestlife.com.
Well, I think the other thing for me, and I love this next point, is doing an activity that requires focus and being present. Mm-hmm. So Wendy, you mentioned getting outside, but having time where you're taking a walk, throwing the ball with your child. You can't be on your phone when you're throwing a ball, right? And you're present with them. I think having activities for me that has been a forced, because I'm so bad, I have to like force it. but having a forced time that you're doing that. So get outside or even inside, having some type of activity that you're playing a game together. Me and my daughter have been playing Super Nintendo Mario World from back in the day lately.
That's so fun.
And so it's so fun. Oh my goodness. And she's loving it. Just that time with mommy. And I'm loving it too. So
that's one of my favorite things of this year has been, you know, it's like the gift of COVID or the gift of crisis, and Quinn learned to ride her bike in the middle of this. And so every morning we go on a bike ride together, and it has been so much fun getting to do that every morning. It's just our time where we go and do our own thing, and it's been awesome.
Yeah.
You know what? One of my favorite things that you guys do, Wendy, I love your walks with Jenny. Mm-hmm. I love seeing him on social media. I know exactly what you're doing. I love that. Do you want to tell everybody what that is?
Yeah. Well, and so actually, so Jenny's my best friend. She's my BFF, and we've been best friends for a long time. And every weekend, one of us picks each other up, and we take the dog, and we drive down to Lady Bird Lake, and we walk 2.5 miles to Alta's coffee shop. Shout out to Alta's. And we sit down, and we have a coffee, and we chit-chat, and then we walk another, sometimes we run. Mostly we walk though, another 1.5 miles, and we're out in nature and we just catch up from the week. And it's honestly a highlight for me. And, you know, she's going to be out of town this weekend. And so I basically kind of blew off my team huddle this morning, let somebody else take over. And she and I went for a walk. That's how important it is to me.
I love that.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
That's awesome. I love that.
I don't do that every time we go to town, but just one of those days. So.
And if you live more in a northern area where it's not always weather suited to go outside, having activities inside. I know my director of operations had a week where her child picked a game for the family that they would play that night, that everything had to be shut down. She has teenagers, and so they're all on their phone too. And so everything had to be shut down, and they got to play a game as a family. Mm-hmm. And she still says that was one of the best weeks of her life.
Yeah.
Because the entire family was present together.
I love that. And then it's like asking yourself, what are your habits and your rituals that you institute at an early age with your family? You know, we've done Friday night movie night for, gosh, I don't even know how long.
We have that too.
Yeah, I know. I love that about you guys. Our families are kind of similar, I think. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that we do is we take a lot of vacations. And yeah. I know not everybody is taking a lot of vacations now, but that's for when most of us were very mindful and present. And that's part of the reason we love to go on vacations, because it's a new world. Mm-hmm. We have to pay more attention to everything. We can't be on autopilot. And so taking vacations for us as a family has been a really great way to get present.
I'm going to be mm-hmm. vulnerable and share with you that on the vacation note, I sometimes think that is the only time my family's mindful is when we're traveling. I mean, I don't want to say that, but I think that is 100% the most together and mindful that we all are. You know, we went to mm-hmm. Cannon Beach, Oregon,
that's awesome.
Over Labor Day weekend. And, you know, we drug the kids kicking and screaming every night to this big bonfire we would do on the beach. And by the second night, they were setting up. I mean, like, it didn't take the first night. They're like, I want to sit in the house and, you know, be on my phone. Because we have two teenagers and a 10-year-old daughter. And
basically three teenagers.
And we, you know, four nights in a row, we had these awesome like bonfires with s'mores, and I put all my 80s music on, and it was so much fun. And I shared stories I've never shared with my kids about like my childhood, and we were so mindful and present, because you really don't want to turn your phones on in a dark bonfire because they'll light up your face. It's really mm-hmm. obvious. So it was just great. I just wanted to emphasize that. I think sometimes even those little weekend getaways are so important to be present with each other.
Yeah. Well, I've been really feeling it this year. You know, we take a lot of vacations. We normally, you know, the way my kid, the rhythm of my kid's school is they get a week off every 6 weeks. And so that was our vacation rhythm. And we have not done that. Yeah. We haven't done it for 9 months. And so when Jay and I went on our goal setting retreat, we were like, we don't care where we go, you know?
We just need to go somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. But it's like, we have to get back into that rhythm because, you know, for me, my son's a junior. And so I said to Jay, mm-hmm. I'm like, what, we're just the last 2 years we're together. We're just going to mm-hmm. not do that. You know, we're not going to be mindful and present, you know, about these weeks. So,
yep. So having an activity is so important, whatever that is, right? Is inserting an activity as something that you do every single, at once in a while, whenever that is, and that will help you be more present and mindful. So the next one is listening to others without thinking about your response. Yes. Yeah, of
course. One thing in there, it's so important. Normally I wouldn't, but I want to talk about walks really quick, because we all talked about walks and walking, a lot of people walk. So here's my only comment about walks. I know them well lately. I'm doing two a day. I just want to give everybody permission to not feel like you have to have an Audible book on. You do have to have a podcast on. You are required to listen to this podcast, FYI. But after this podcast is over, I want to give you permission to listen to music.
It's only an hour a week.
It's only an hour a week. To listen to music or listening to nothing at all and be mindful with your thoughts. I put a lot of pressure on myself on those walks to get through my Audible books. I really do. I listen to them at 1.4 speed. Mm-hmm. I read and listen to a lot of books. And sometimes I just have to give myself permission to not do anything at all. So I had to throw that in there because I feel like so many people go on walks.
Yeah. Yep.
That's
same
one
with
of my
driving.
Favorite ways. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've missed the drive home because of the just being able to process. That's when my chill out alarm would go off and I'd like zen myself out and drive and just be. So I've had to like go physically out and like take walks around the block instead to kind of like re-anchor walking back into the house.
Yeah. No, so true. Yeah.
So true.
So yeah. So listening to someone without thinking about your next response. Now that's tricky. we actually practice this weekly on the podcast because when we're recording, a lot of times we are thinking about what we're mm-hmm. going to say next. And then when we listen to our own podcast, many times we'll get text messages from each other. You're so smart. Oh my goodness, that point. Like we totally missed the point that person was mm-hmm. making because we were thinking about the next thing versus being present and mindful with the people that we were in. So, and that's common, right? That's a common mm-hmm. thing. It's just making sure that we're listening to someone versus thinking about the next thing that you have to say. So
good.
Okay. I feel like I'm like the walking book review person, but I have been reading a lot lately. And my next book on my nightstand is a book that came highly recommended called You're Not Listening by Kate Murphy. Mm. And the whole book is about listening and what to do and how to do it.
What was
so
it
I'll
called?
Give you a report. It's called You're Not Listening by Kate Murphy.
That was a joke.
I did not even get it. It was a good joke. The next thing I was going to say.
You too.
Oh, that was a good one, Wendy. You were so good.
Sorry, that was a dad joke.
That's like a dad joke. I feel like that was a dad joke. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God. All right.
You goofball. All right.
Yeah. Well, the other way that we can be present is really to learn something new, right? Mm-hmm. To free your mind up. So many of us just are constantly in the grind and we're just going and thinking and doing, and it can be very freeing. It can be very freeing to do new things. Like even studies show if you take a different way to work, right? Mm. Or a different way to church or a different way to your favorite restaurant. Mm. It actually helps you be more present. You're more creative. And then you're not just on autopilot. I mean, you guys have all had that feeling where you get in your car, right? You're leaving the office. You have so much on your mind and you get into your driveway and you're like, whoa.
How did I get here?
Yeah. Yes.
How did I get here?
Yeah.
I have this whole, I don't know about you guys, but like, do you have this like list that rummages around in your head of like, when I retire one day, I'm going to do X, or when I have more time someday, I'll learn how to do X. And one thing I had on my list for a long time was I'd love to like work with my hands and do tactile things. And like, I like to sew and make things. Like, I like to see something become concrete. And so I was like, when I retire, I'm going to knit. And Tiffany Fikes in our group of dolls taught me on one of our retreats last year how to knit. And so that's one of the things that I've added for mindfulness, is because physically you have to use two hands. You can't do anything else. And so just that like being present and, you know, just kind of as Quinn and I can have a conversation or something, I, you know, am learning something new. It's been a really, really neat little thing that was on my someday list that I was able to move to a why not now list. So if you have something like that, move it to now. You don't have to wait. Do it now.
That's so true. But whatever it is to free your mind. So doing something new, Via talked about earlier, closing the loop on something. So writing it down, sending an email that you need to send to yourself, maybe to just like free your mind. Like whatever's in there, get it out of your mind.
Yeah. And I think it's really important to have a hobby or something. A lot of extreme people have extreme sport hobbies because it keeps them mindful. It's essentially mindfulness practice, rock climbing, I'm trying to think of other ones because you have to physically be there in the moment. You can't concentrate on anything else. So woodworking, painting, things that you have to be mindful. It's really like, I'm a piano player and I'm starting up the piano again because I can't really focus on a lot when I'm, Wendy, to your point, when I'm relearning a skill that's dormant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't focus on a lot of things. I'm focused on the notes, my fingering. And I just wanted to emphasize that having, thanks, I haven't shared that yet. Having something, a hobby of some sort is so important for this.
Well, guys, I don't know about you, but I've learned a lot today. Hopefully you guys could be present and mindful when listening to this podcast today. And we learned a lot. We learned a lot about being present, turning our phones off, doing new things, remembering to travel, even in the time of COVID. And so I just would wish this for everyone, which is to take this week with your family, hopefully you're taking some time off. We probably all need it.
Yes.
To be there for Thanksgiving, whatever your family looks like, to be completely present in the moment. Understand that every second, every moment that you have with the most precious people in your life, you're never going to get those back, right? There's nothing more important than the relationship with the most special people in your family. So be present. I know I speak for everyone when I say we're all really thankful for all of our listeners. It's been a really fun journey for all of us. And happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Empire Building. If you like what you heard, join our tribe by subscribing to your favorite podcast platform. And please help us spread the word by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Until next time, wishing you a life worth living. And remember, you are an empire builder.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.